In the name of Jesus. This Tuesday is Independence Day. The 4th of July is a federal holiday commemorating the birth of a nation. The Declaration of Independence, the principal author of which was Thomas Jefferson, was presented on June 28, 1776, to the representatives of the 13 original colonies. It was adopted on July 4, 1776, but it seems that only 34 of the 56 original delegates to the Second Continental Congress signed the document that day. The remaining delegates signed almost a whole month later, on August 2nd. It has been argued, until recently, that this new republic became the greatest nation on earth. It seems, however, that some forget that national freedom comes at a great price. Sacrifice has been and always will be necessary to preserve our nation's independence and peace. In today's gospel, Jesus reminds his disciples and us that worldly peace and freedom does not cost as much as spiritual peace and freedom. Would it take much arm twisting to convince you that our United States of America is not so united right now? We see division and conflict at every turn. When once it was said to avoid the topics of religion and politics in polite conversation, now it seems that no matter what we speak about, someone will object and take offense. No longer just church and state, but gender, sexuality, morality, education, the raising and discipline of children, literature, the sanctity of life, immigration, climate, international relations, war. Does the list even stop? And then this morning in the gospel, we hear Jesus say, "Do not think I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." Now, that doesn't sound very encouraging. But hold on just a bit. Before we dismiss Jesus' words, let's make sure we understand them. In fact, this morning, I would suggest the theme, Christ brings earthly division for the sake of heavenly peace. As Jeremiah speaks of false prophets who preach what their hearers want to hear, promising peace even when the Lord has spoken of war, famine, and pestilence in our Old Testament reading today, so I also cannot sugarcoat this text. God's word must not be bound by our emotions, our wishes, or our desires. It is necessary to preach God's law, even if difficult, because it confronts us. The divinely inspired St. Paul says today in the epistle that it makes it worse, sinful beyond measure, thereby producing death in the sinner. And Jesus warns us today, "For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household." And Jesus admonishes, Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And then, don't miss it, Jesus promises. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. This is why I say Christ brings earthly division for the sake of heavenly peace with God. I'm fully aware that we prefer peace to conflict. Like you, I do not want to go to work or come home to a house or go to a church where the environment is constantly contentious. It's exhausting. It's unhealthy to always be on edge. But sometimes, the peace we pursue is a false peace because we ignore issues that should be confronted. Consider the relationship that is clearly dysfunctional, but you fear the process of changing it. What about the family with whom you have simply agreed to disagree for the sake of keeping the peace? But that kind of peace is fake. It's deadly because it's a lie. Is just getting along more important than frank and open and honest discussion? If not, our relationships are a sham. Real peace cannot conceal our sins from God, from others, or from ourselves. So then, what is real peace? Well, I'm glad you asked. Peace in the scripture is a Hebrew concept, and it is a translation of the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom is not the absence of conflict. The word shalom cannot be translated with one equal word like peace. The word shalom communicates wholeness. Wholeness of mind, wholeness of body, wholeness in relationships with others, wholeness with our relationship with God. We face our brokenness in order to have real peace, shalom. Our brokenness with ourselves, with one another, and with God. So when Jesus says, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword, we are alerted that the imagery of the sword is to cut through all the lies, all the fake peace. Christ must bring division here on earth, so that we might have real shalom with God in heaven. And being truth wielders is wielding a sword. Whenever you declare absolute biblical truth, you will come face to face with conflict in this world. And if you don't think so, watch the sparks ignite. When you speak of the sanctity of life from before birth to natural death, or that there are only two genders, or that human sexuality is a gift to be enjoyed only between a man and a woman in the context of marriage to each other, or that homosexuality or heterosexual fornication or transhumanism is outside of God's will. Our world is so very comfortable with lies. But in order to have true shalom, all these lies must be challenged and contradicted. Belonging to Jesus puts us at odds with the world, and it divides us from all earthly ties, including our human families. Remember that Scripture declares that we are all by nature dead in transgressions and sins. And this spiritual deadness creates division, and it prohibits us from experiencing true peace. It is impossible for us to ignore this and to come into a right relationship with God. Because of our sinful nature and because of all of our actual sins, we deserve temporal death and eternal torment in hell. God, however, does not want to condemn us. He desires us to be in a truly wholesome, shalom-like relationship with Him, experiencing the blessing of the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. He calls us. He enables us to repent and denounce our sin. The Holy Spirit leads us to have true sorrow for our rebellion against this holy God, and to believe that sin has been forgiven and grace has been obtained through Christ. And with that faith, we then desire to do better than to keep on sinning. When we repent, God forgives us all our sins and our sinful nature. He forgives all sins, no matter what they may be. He forgives us for the sake of Christ. Christ, who carried all of your sin, my sin, the sin of all humankind in His body at the cross. The divinely inspired St. Peter writes, He, Jesus Himself, bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. And again he writes, For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God. We continually teach He is our substitute, the innocent one for all the guilty ones. He suffered and died in your place to satisfy God's wrath for your sins. And He rose again from the dead, victorious over sin, death, and the grave. The sacrificial death of Christ and His victorious resurrection not only ensure victory over sin, Satan, and death, but forgiveness, life, and salvation are now available through faith in Him. We are called to live in the shalom that faith alone produces, created and sustained by God's word in all of its form. The true God gives us shalom in His word of Holy Scriptures, read, expounded, spoken, sung here among us. He gives us His shalom in His word, which is connected to the water of holy baptism, which brings us into the kingdom and creates faith. He gives us shalom in the word of holy absolution, which comforts us and releases us from our brokenness. He gives us shalom in His word, which make the elements of bread and wine the true body of Christ given for us and the true blood of Christ shed for us. Through the word and the sacraments, the lies are dismissed and replaced by the truth that we belong to Him who has been raised from the dead in order that we might bear fruit to God, as the divinely inspired St. Paul writes in today's epistle. And again he writes in Ephesians, Christ Himself is our peace, who has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Today and every day, we celebrate true independence from sin and its curse and the freedom of true shalom, true peace in Christ. No matter how we may treasure our national independence, there is a greater freedom. In Christ, we Christians are freed from the power of sin, Satan, death, and hell. And regardless of what our elected representatives do or do not do to preserve our nation, we can nevertheless be confident that Christ our Savior gives and preserves our spiritual freedoms because he paid the ultimate price for all of our divisions and gives us true shalom. Empowered by the Spirit, we take up our cross. We lose our life for his sake. We are given new life now, and life in his presence forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The peace of God, which transcends our understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.